American Psychological Association responds to allegations of providing cover for the CIA's torture program, and Flashpoints continues coverage of Haiti amid the continuing controversy surrounding parliamentary elections. And at 11 on Between the Covers, David Naiman speaks with local poet and critic David Beispiel about his collection of essays, A Long High Whistle. Chris Andre is coming up next with Air Cascadia. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today.
KBOO is a co-sponsor of the Double Mountain Brewery and Tap Room's Great Bottle Roundup and Street Party on Sunday, August 23rd in Hood River. To lower their environmental impact, Double Mountain is working to reuse their bottles. More information about participating in the Bottle Bring Back may be found at their website, doublemountainbrewery.com. Jeff Allworth kicks things off at 11:15 for a talk and signing of his book, The Beer Bible. From noon to 6 p.m., there will be music provided by Left Coast Country, Green Neck Daredevils, and Mile Marker 6. People that bring back bottles for the Bottle Roundup have a chance to win prizes throughout the day. That's on Sunday, August 23rd in Hood River. More information is available on the right-hand side of the KBOO homepage at kboo.fm.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, August 20th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Coming up, 15 minutes of news, comment, and jiggery pokery on your community radio. Our guest today is Frank Bebo. He is with the 1855 Treaty Authority, and if you don't know what that is, you're about to find out. You do know definitely what the Keystone XL is, and are probably bitterly aware but at this point in the game, in these late stages of the late great planet Earth, that the Keystone XL people, the investors, are itching to get back all that money they sunk into the project, and they are not going to let go. They have got the environment by a stranglehold, and they are going to hang on until they have wrenched the last drop of gold from its collapsing veins. Well, many of these veins, pipelines that crisscross the nation right now, we are well aware of. And we are well aware of some of the hazards, the dangers of these projects. And we have seen in many cases spills of one sort or another. Pipelines break. They are, in some cases, over 3 feet in diameter. The issue of turbulence in pipelines of this sort has never been solved. It never will be. It's a sticking point, if you will, in chaos theory, and there are too many variables. It's too complex an equation for anybody to solve. But I'll tell you one thing, Mother Nature's got it solved, and these pipelines are going to keep breaking and breaking and breaking wherever they go. And even if they didn't break, the disruption to wildlife habitat, to migration lines, but moreover, and more importantly than anything else, people who own this land, or actually don't, the reason why we have white colonists from Europe trampling the earth is because the original people lived here, but didn't they didn't have a concept of ownership. Everything about the white colonial life is based on ownership, ownership of land, ownership of people, ownership of natural resources. It's all ownership. This is not the way things started. but in very likely it'll be the way it ends. Joining, we do actually have a couple of just brief net, a couple of headlines that I really do want to just touch upon before we get rolling here. The tribal treaty rights may dam the flow of Nestle. For 7 years now, Nestle's been in gutting to siphon Columbia Gorge water and sell it. But now, it looks like that plan might not be as airtight as they thought. Opponents have found a leak. Native American water rights. That might save the day. The fight to keep Nestle from getting rights to Oxbow Springs, which they plan to bottle and sell, despite the fact that we've got a drought here, we have disaster situations, fires raging across Cascadia. They want that water, and they want it badly. But it turns out that Native American water rights, in the end, may trump, don't use the word lightly, may trump their designs on our water. So there's that. And we have this from Mark Laberfinger: an historic algae bloom is creating havoc along the west coast of North America. It turns out that this algae bloom can be 60 feet deep, 40 miles across, God knows how long, getting longer by the day, killing everything in its path. And again, Mother Nature as a way of snapping back. And in Maine, the Chevron targeted banner was hung in solidarity with the Unisiton people. Chevron was repeatedly attempted to, excuse me, not Maine, this is in British Columbia, attempted to trespass on unceded, get this, different laws for First Nations in Canada, in many cases a lot tougher. Unistotutlin land is so-called in British Columbia, is surveyed for its proposed Pacific Trails pipeline. Turns out that, again, possibly First Nations is going to win another one for the environment. And welfare reform is entering its 20th year of ensuring poverty. welfare reform. Anybody who's been on the receiving end of it knows very well about how reformed it is. And we've got, let's see, I want to just leave it there and introduce our guest, bringing up Frank Bevo. We're so very, very fortunate to have you here joining us this morning on Air Cascadia, KBOO Airwaves. This is an important issue. This is something that mainstream media has studiously avoided touching on. Frank is not afraid to touch on it. Good morning, Frank. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you.
There are so many other issues here that we're talking about. I believe myself, first off, that the question of ownership, the idea that Keystone XL people believe that they have somehow obtained by buying some sort of lease, that this grants them ownership, whereas the original inhabitants of this land who harvest wild rice, and that this is their heritage. It's hard to express ownership where ownership doesn't exist. Can you talk about what's going on here? What is the 1855 Treaty Authority about?
Well, the 1855 Treaty Authority are the members, or the ascendants and the treaty beneficiaries who, you know, from the 1855 treaty in Minnesota. And so I guess where I wanted to start, in a sense, was when you were talking about all these water problems, everybody's worried about clean water. We have clean water, and the pipelines want to pollute it, or at least put their lines through, and then we, you know, have to believe it's going to be polluted later.
Well, there's no question, because we've seen time and again pipelines that spill one way or another. There's no way of guaranteeing that they're going to be safe. Why 1855? What's that treaty about? That is, in fact, that should guarantee that your people have rights to continue to carry out traditional forms of harvesting wild rice. Talk a bit about the wild rice harvest and what it means to you.
Well, Well, certainly harvesting wild rice is gathering food in its simplest sense, and it's the kind of food that we were able to store, you know, for the entire year, if not a couple of years, to make sure that we were always able to survive. And it's the food that the Creator provided for us, and through our creation stories and migration stories, we came to where the food grows on the water, and that's why we are where we are. And I wanted to say a couple things about property rights. You were saying it a little bit different than property, but anyway, we don't think of property and ownership. We think of the planet owning us. We think of the other animals being our brothers and sisters, or that they own us and that we have obligations to them. And so it has been hard for us to figure out how to express our rights correctly. Ironically, you almost have to be a lawyer to figure this stuff out, which is, I guess, good in that sense that I became one. And my professor, who I work with very closely on this, Peter Erlander, he helped figure out that what we actually have, and we have some court decisions on this now, that what we actually have are individual property rights. They're individual usufructory rights to hunt, fish, and gather and earn a modest living. Because that is what each person has as what we used to call the inalienable rights. Somehow they've been alienated from other people or taken. And so these rights were recognized by the Supreme Court in the Mille Lacs decision. And at the beginning, what Peter's paper talks about is that all nine agreed that before there was any colonization, we had it all. It's just a question of what we did or didn't lose along the way. The Chippewa are in a very unique position because we have 44 treaties with the United States, where a lot of tribes were one or two treaties and a reservation, and so it's kind of a short history and it's kind of easy to interpret. And so our history is much different. And so as a result of those individual property rights and our difference of our treaties from the Western tribes in Washington and Oregon, our treaty rights are exclusive of the state of Minnesota and exclusive of the United States. And the decision says that Congress can change that if they want to. And so that's why the Lacey Act couldn't be applied to the walleye fishermen here on the reservations and off reservation, because our rights are exclusive of the United States as well. And so we believe, because they're exclusive in that sense, and these are property words, we have an obligation to protect our property, to pass it on, and we have an obligation to make sure that those other governments understand that they have to consult with us, and they need some kind of consent from us, because they are trying to basically get a new pipeline in, actually two of them at least, through virgin wild rice rivers and lakes, while abandoning Line 3, a half mile from my house, to just be garbage in the ground until it just deteriorates and starts transferring water or other things. And so they don't even think about it because they don't live here. And the people who make the decisions for the state, they live in St. Paul, 200 miles south. In many ways, our problems are the same as the Canadians. The difference is our treaties and how Peter Erlander and I and a few other people have worked to understand our treaty rights better because of the 44 treaties. And Peter has been able to essentially transfer the understanding of our usufructory rights into property rights that the United States has to recognize like everybody else's property rights, which requires due process before you take that property under the 5th and 14th Amendments. And that's where they're going to get hung up.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. The whole question of ownership, as you say, as you point out, the irony is inescapable. But there are a few things. Treaties aren't inescapable, and the Lacey Act, too, as far as the walleye are concerned, and ownership... ownership be damned, and the people, original people, First Nations, have rights to the use of these waters and the creatures and the whole habitat, because there's no way you take people or creatures out of habitat, and there is no way that it's all part of one entity, one kind of almost like a deity, one spirit that is what is is in question here, and in fact, it's what under is in a many sense, I guess, under attack by the Keystone XL project. I want to ask you again a little bit more about the event. The Hole in the Day Lake was selected, as I understand it, as part in part because of the remembrance of the Chippewa Chief Hole in the Wall, Hole in the Day, and the Gull Lake Reservation. Would you just like we got like 1 minute left? Just bring. Can you bring all of that to life for listeners, because we want to have some sense of what's at stake here and why it should be important to all of us to stand in solidarity with all of you.
Thank you, Chris. We have to stand up for our rights because Minnesotans typically are unprotected from eminent domain of Canadian pipelines by Minnesota law. And so what we are doing is we are having a gathering of tribal members who have the treaty rights and the reserved rights to go out and harvest off-reservation in what the state thinks is its territory only. And we're going to exercise those rights in solidarity with the other non-Indians. And unlike the spearing rallies in Wisconsin in the 80s, I think the federal government is going to have to come in and intervene to keep the state conservation officers from unlawfully exercising their rights. And when they do that, I think we're going to be in federal court quickly, and there's going to be another decision like Square Hook where this is dismissed, and then the pipelines and the state are going to realize they have to consult with us.
That's where we have to leave it for today, but that's exactly where the point of which we're going to take up this whole issue again next week. I hope if you have just a few minutes next week to join us once again. My guest has been Frank Bebo with the 1855 Treaty Authority, and we're very, very, very grateful to you for joining us today. Frank, this has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, August 20th, 2015. Rod Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks to that, Rod. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.